There are so many women out there that are taking a stand against gender inequality and are paving the way for the future generation. Ordinary women that are creating a more inclusive and powerful society, free from stereotypes, racism and sexism. And I'm here to share their stories with all of you. Stay tuned, because this is WEN Power, your source of inspiring, powerful and positive stories. And I'm here to discover how we can change the narrative, one story at a time. I am your host, Ilaria Biancacci, journalist and founder of WEN Power. Hello and welcome to a new episode of WEN Power Podcast. We are here today with Laura Carey. She's the founder of the Independent Mom Handsbook, and she's here today with us to share her experience as an entrepreneur and to share her advice and her knowledge on how to run a business, start a business, and what all moms need to know. So thank you, Laura, for being with us today.
Hello.
So I will take you straight to the point with a tricky question. And the question is, I want to know, what are you fighting for today?
I would say that I'm fighting for equal opportunity, really, for women.
Okay, that's a very aligned fight with WEN Power values and what we are trying to do as well with our podcast and our stories. So thank you very much for sharing this. And if you could just tell all our audience a little bit more about yourself, who is Laura, and also what are the three best qualities that you bring as a woman and as an entrepreneur?
Okay, so who is Laura? Well, I am 37-year-old mother of two. I've got two lovely teenagers. And it's not as difficult as people say. They're actually pretty fantastic kids, to be honest. We live in Brentwood, so I'm an Essex girl. I was born in Essex and I've always lived in Essex. I brought the two children up on my own and I've always been in business. I started my first business when I was 18, doing domestic and commercial cleaning. We used to clean in and around Essex. And then what I wanted to do was create a company that had a bit of a social element. So we would clean for the elderly and vulnerable in the community. We got quite a name and ended up partnering with Age Concern and working with social services. So we'd get a lot of our clients from there. So then we got to a point where I realised there was a skills gap with the employees. And we then partnered with Newham College and we opened up a training centre running City and Guilds level three cleaning and support services and functional skills in maths and English. And that really was born from the idea that people don't choose cleaning as a career. It's more of a stopgap, or it's more of a job that, and it was mainly women that worked for me, that women do to support their family whilst they're bringing the family up because it fit in with school runs. So I wanted to give my employees that bit more than just coming to work every day. So we had the social element, which was quite fun. We got to get to know the clients, and then also the employees got a bit more out of it too. And then, yeah, I grew that business, ended up selling that when I was 30, went back to university, and I did psychology. Because I realised, I was doing the 10, 12 years I was running the cleaning business for, and I kind of outgrew it, really. Mm-hmm. And I realised that, you know, running a business didn't define me. I was Laura, not Laura the business owner. So I went back to uni and did a psychology degree, undergrad, at the age of 30. Finished that, went straight on to do psychology masters in organisational psychology. And yeah, I've had a few jobs in between that to sustain us. Went to university, worked in mental health for a little while. And then I started work as a specialist mentor for university students with mental health issues. And a lot of those students, although it is mixed and mixed ages, a lot of them were women. Mm-hmm. And they were facing the same kind of challenges that most women face. So they'd gone back, most of them single as well, single parents. And I really noticed the niche in that market for women that wanted to do more, but that were mothers. So trying to balance being a mum and kind of getting their needs met And when I say their needs met, I mean fulfilling themselves in their goals of, you know, education or whether it's career or finance. And from that, the Independent Mum's Handbook was made.
That's a very, very interesting journey. And I mean, well done for managing being an entrepreneur, being a mom, going back to study at an age where sometimes we've been told that it's, you know, we should focus on something else. Maybe it's not the time to go back to study, and changing your career and finding an idea to develop another business, which I think is very, it's very important, because I'm not a mother myself, but I do have, some of my friends are mothers, some of them are single, others they have a partner, and living in London or in the UK can be quite challenging when it comes to juggling different responsibilities, job, university and everything else. So what you're doing, I think it's very, very interesting. So I would like to ask you some more information about the Independent Mum Handbook, if you would like to share with us.
Okay, so the Independent Mum's Handbook is a physical book that is nearly written, so that's really exciting. And inside the book, it really is a book for mums. It's not a book about parenting, it's not a book about finance, it's a book about being a mum and about meeting your goals whilst being a mum. So we cover topics like budgeting, bank accounts. So we've got a finance section, we look at mortgages, and just to give you a basic idea of all the things that you need to be able to live a fulfilling life. We also look at mental health. So we look at how to keep well, how to juggle being a mum and meeting your other needs. So whether that's career, we discuss about being a stay-at-home mum, being a working mum, how we can make being a working mum work for you. So is it working part-time, working from home? We look at schools, and that's quite a big thing of how to pick a school. Do you want to go private? Do you want to homeschool? Is it state school? What to look for when you're looking for a school? When also back again, when we look at mental health, we also look at the tough bits, the bits about maybe domestic abuse, because as much as we look at the fluffy stuff and all the bits that we can work towards, we need to make sure that we keep ourselves safe and well as well. And domestic abuse doesn't have to be something that's done by a perpetrator who's quite evil. Sometimes we don't even realise what's going on, and it might even be us that's using those behaviours. So I just thought I'd include that to keep us all kind of grounded. We've got a chapter on childcare. Okay. So we looked at the different types of childcare. So do you want a nanny? Do you want a childminder, nursery school? What works best for you? And also ways to fund that as well. So we kind of cover it all. So here's that book to say, right, you're a mum, you've got to deal with a baby, but here's a way to manage it all. So that's what the book should cover. But we also offer coaching, because it's easy to give someone a book, and there's so many self-help books out there. If it was as easy as that, you wouldn't need as many self-help books. So we offer coaching alongside that, and that's to help you reach your goals. And what we do is we set little mini goals to help you get to where you need to be. And I drew on that from my experience as a specialist mentor, because in that role, working with the university students, you have to break things down. A lot of my students have got ADHD, dyslexia, autism. So it's about breaking it down, making it manageable, and helping someone get to that end goal, be that a degree, or for my other ladies from the Independent Handbooks, their career goals or whatever other goals they've got.
What was your experience as a mother? And I know that sometimes when it comes to motherhood, women they need to face a choice. Either is you are a mother or you focus on your career. And there is not such a thing like being a mother and being career driven, or being an entrepreneur and be able and supported by the society to do both. So how did you live your motherhood, and what do you think we can change to, you know, eradicate this narrative that says that women can only be either mothers or career driven?
I think my journey into motherhood, I was pretty young actually. I was 21 when I had my first one, and I was already running the business.
Okay.
So I've managed to tailor that a bit around the children. But as the business grew and the children grew, something had to give. And hence why I went back to uni. It was a career that gave then. And I think really it depends on you as a person, because for me, success is bringing up two people that are productive members of society that are happy. So that's hence why I chose the children. Some other people might think their career is a bit more important and might delegate out the childcare. I suppose the question is, can you have it all? I don't know. I mean, there's only so many ways we can cut ourselves, isn't there? We can't be a wife, a mother, a businesswoman, career, look fantastic and do everything at the same time. So I think, unfortunately, we have to pick our poisons. I chose the children, and then now they're bigger, I'm choosing the business at the same time, but trying to make it that bit easier for everyone else.
Okay. And if there was an advice that maybe you wish someone could have shared with you when you started your journey as a mother, same as you're doing now with a handbook to share some of your knowledge and experience with other mother and let them know that, you know, there are plenty of opportunity and information and tools out there for them. What would that be, this advice that maybe you needed in looking back?
I think what I would have liked and what I would have needed was a mentor. And I think that I became, I like to think, for other people what I needed back then. I remember when I was at university, I'd just gone back after maybe 10 years out of education. I'd already got my teaching degree, but then I'd gone back to get the psychology degree. And I remember at uni being told, you're not writing the essays right. And I'd be like, okay, well, can you teach me how to do this better? And it was like, no, you should know that by now. And I think that's what kind of give me the push to one, become a specialist mentor, to know that actually some people do need to be told how to do that, and you don't just know, you need to be taught that. So that's kind of where my mentoring background comes from. And I think as a mother it would have been nice to be mentored, but then I think to myself, I'm quite outgoing and I'm quite headstrong, would I have listened? It would have needed to be someone who was like four or five rungs ahead of me for me to have listened to them and to be where I want to be.
Okay.
For me to have listened. But what advice would I give mums is just make a step towards your dreams, really. Whatever goal you've got, if you just take one step, you'll be that one step closer. And then the rest of it will become clear as you take that next step and next step. And really create a support network around you, so that you've got that when you feel like you can't do any more, or you feel like you can't go that extra step, you've got that support around you to say, look, we've got you, you can do this. Whether it's just those words of you've got this, or whether it's saying, right, how are we going to get from here to here? And then helping you along the way. So that would be my advice.
Your advice. And just because you mentioned mentoring, and we need to acknowledge as well how me and you, we met. So we both part of the 2021 Santander Breakthrough Women in Business Mentoring Program. I am one of the mentee and you are a mentor. And I just want to know, how did you find this experience for you? Because you just mentioned that mentoring was something that probably you would have looked out, not needed or look out for it, but it's something that maybe you missed in the first years. And now you're a mentor yourself, and you joined this amazing experience of the mentoring program with Santander. And I just would like to know, how is the experience for you, and what did you learn in this process, in this journey?
It has been an excellent experience. Grace, my mentee, she's brilliant. We met once a month. We set goals. We work towards them. And we discuss the challenges along the way of whatever happened that month, because life doesn't run smoothly. And I think it was a really good experience, because it got me to reflect back on myself as well. Because what Grace was going through is something that I'd either been through or was going through, because these business challenges come up again and again and again, because that's a growing business. That's just how it is. So, that was really helpful. And also watching someone else grow and someone else get that step closer to their goal and dreams was a really good experience as well. And to see the different things that she could do with just that little bit of extra support behind her. Another thing I noticed is that people don't need to be told what to do. They kind of know, they just need it to be brought into realization of how to get there. So it was really nice to see her confidence grow throughout the process as well. And we've become friends, which is really nice.
Yeah, I can speak from my mentee experience, and it's been a very interesting journey. And as you say, sometimes we have the answer to our question inside. It's just maybe that person that has a little bit more experience than you is just going to help you to visualize it. And so you finally bring it up, even though they are already inside of you. You just need a little push, a little help to finally make that step. And I think mentoring is something that I never experienced before. And it's a very powerful tool. And especially when we speak with a new generation, with women, with people in general, it just offers you a different perspective. And it's a very valuable experience. So for whoever is listening to us, maybe you should check the 2022 Santander Breakthrough Program and give it a chance to the mentoring program if you are running a business or thinking to open one. And you mentioned business challenges, and what are, in your experience, the challenges that you faced the most when it came to run your business or starting a business?
When I was younger and 18, starting a business just came naturally. It was, I had nothing to lose. I was living at home with my mum. It was start a business, get some flyers, let's get out there, let's do this. A bit of background on why I started the business was that when I was younger, I used to go to my nan's, and she would pay me to clean her house. And then once I got to 16, I think it might be in 14, 15, my nan died. And so I started the business of kind of connecting with my nan and, a way to make money out of it, hence why we went for the elderly as well. So that kind of was natural for me. I kind of don't like being told what to do either. So working didn't really work for me. But running my own business and, having my own destiny, being able to reach the goals that I wanted to, and knowing that it was on me, being accountable for me and not having to kind of rely on anybody else. Mm-hmm. So that was the easy part. Then as it grew, that was when the challenges came in, because now I'm going to have to manage these people, the employees. But I also have to manage all other stuff as well. And trying to let go and let someone else in to manage it was very difficult. So that was a big challenge for me. Partnering with the universities and the colleges and stuff, that was easy. Networking stuff comes easy to me. But it was the kind of, the employees, which I found the most challenging. The clients, fine. They'll give their complaints. We'll sort the complaints out. Everyone's happy. The employees, bit of a different kettle of fish. Hence why I went back to uni and thought, okay, let's do it another way around, and did the psychology degree. Now the challenge, I think it comes a bit more with self-confidence. I knew that I could do it once, so I can do it again. But now there's a bit older, a bit wiser, a bit more self-conscious. But I'm slowly chipping away at that and getting back to my old self and, just having fun again. Which life kind of takes out of you, doesn't it, unfortunately, as you get older.
Yeah, that too many, it looks like we don't have time anymore to enjoy funny things, to laugh or to relax a little bit more, because the responsibility, they just pile up one after the other. But it's very, I'm very happy to have you here today to share your story, because when you are 18, you don't really think you're going to open your own business. It's something like very, very challenging and very out of, whatever we are shown or we see growing up. Me, when I was 18, I was thinking, okay, I'm going to get a degree, I'm going to study. I didn't have an idea of, oh, maybe I should start a business, you know? It was not like, the mentality was not there yet. It came out after. So after I was over 30, and then I decided to become, to say, okay, I want to be an entrepreneur. I want to have my own business, you know? So it's kind of like, it's a very interesting that you did take this step at a very young age. And then you decided as well to do it 10 years after. And it's a completely different experience. And you probably also have grown as a woman, as an entrepreneur, your knowledge, your skills and everything. So, but it's still challenging somehow and in a different way. So it's really, for me, it's very interesting to discover this about you and about your journey. And I hope as well, all the people who are following us will somehow maybe resonate with your story. So we'll feel inspired to know that you can, you know, you can be an entrepreneur whenever you want, whenever you're ready. It doesn't really matter what age you are, what stage of your life you are. And to conclude this interview, I know you already mentioned, we already discussed about this before, but if there was, this is an advice for all women, not necessarily mothers, just all the women that, or even men that are listening to us today on this podcast, what would that be?
I think my biggest piece of advice is just take the first step. Once you take the first step, then the second and the third. Don't plan too far ahead. Don't overwhelm yourself. Just start somewhere. Have your plan, have your goal at the end, and maybe work backwards, but just take the first step.
Good. Let's all take our first step if we haven't done it yet. And going back to my first question, I ask you, what are you fighting for? And I would like to know what you wish to stop fighting for today.
I wish, I hope that we do stop fighting for equality, because I hope that we all are seen as equals. We all bring something to the table. And one day, hopefully, we'll all be seen for who we are and not what we are.
I completely agree with this. Laura, thank you very much for being with us today, for sharing your story and experience. You can let us know where we can follow all the journey of the Independent Mom Hands Book, if there is when we'll be able to see the book, when you will publish, and if there is any social media website handle you want to share, you can do it right now. And thank you again for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Ilaria. So we've got a website, which is www.independentmomshandbook.co.uk. You can find us on Facebook, Independent Mums Handbook. Just type that in, it will be the first thing you see. We've got a group as well, which is an excellent community that we've got on Facebook. It's a group of mums. We discuss challenges of being a woman, though, not so much being a mum. It's more of being a woman. We look at finance. We had a mortgage broker in last week talking to the community about getting your first mortgage or buying your second home and becoming a landlady. So we've got people from all different backgrounds on there. I've also got a podcast series, The Independent Mum's Handbook. You can find us on Anchor. We're also on iTunes. And Google, so we're everywhere with that.
If this was your first time listening to Wempower Podcast, thank you for taking the time. You can find us on Podbean and Spotify. Subscribe to our newsletter on wempower.co and keep up to date with all the future projects on all our social media at Wempower UK. Thank you to all the women out there that are following and supporting Wempower. I will continue to bring to you powerful, inspiring and positive stories from all over the world. Don't forget, together we empower women. This is Ilaria for Wempower Podcast. Until next time.